loaded with information about what's going on, in particular, the information in regards to our military. Again, the resistor is edited by Steve Berry, and if you wish to order it, you can contact him by writing to P.O. Box 35046. Again, that's Box 35046, Fayetteville, North Carolina, 28303. And Steve asked for $50 for 4 editions of the resistor. And before we go any further, Sharice has a poem for us. If you would, Sharice, go ahead and read the poem.
Thank you, Jesse Graham. The title of the poem this evening is Ignorance of the Law. Ignorance of the law is no excuse, but which law have you put into use? Man-made laws are written to deceive, confuse, and control. It is Satan's seed who makes them up, to deceive and capture your soul. But Yahweh's laws are simple. They're straightforward, steadfast, and true. If taught and obeyed from an early age, then Satan's seed can't touch you. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. But which law have you put into you? Okay, thank you, Pastor Dan.
Thank you very much. And very much appropriate for the next subject. Again, the title for tonight is Yahweh's Law. I've got a few verses I want to read here, and then we're going to bring our guests on. Out of Leviticus, chapter 18, verses 3 through 5, out of the book of Yahweh. After the doings of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe and do my judgment, and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am Yahweh. You must cease, therefore, keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he will live through them. I am Yahweh. Then we go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 24, 5 and 6. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants of it, because they have transgressed the laws, meaning Yahweh's laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. Because of this, the curse has devoured the earth, and they who dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men, Adamites, are left. In case you haven't noticed, the population of Caucasians has recently, in the last decade, gone from 15% of the world's population down to 8%, according to what I was told recently. This is not a good thing. Lastly, out of Isaiah 33 and 22, this one is pertinent. Please note, for Yahweh is our judge. Yahweh is our lawgiver. Yahweh is our king. He will save us. Okay, with that, I'd like to introduce Tom Hall. And Tom, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here, Daddy.
Okay, if you could speak up just a bit. I can't hear you real well.
Okay. Is that better?
That sounds a little bit better. So how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
Very good. And I was just telling the audience at the beginning that, of course, you're a pastor and you've got a ministry probably in one of the most socialistic states in the United States today, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And if you would, kind of introduce yourself a little bit to the folks, a little bit about your background, Tom.
Well, I'm a former Methodistarian. I kind of got sick and tired of prophecy in the churches at a young age. And later on, I guess maybe 10 years ago, I decided that there had to be better answers. That God's word has to be true, and somebody has to be false. And I began to study, and here's where he led me. And we have a small group that meets in Woodstown, New Jersey. The assistant pastor there. And we have a couple of Bible studies that we conduct in the area.
Uh-huh. What's your assessment now, let me ask this, Bob, before we get into a list of questions and whatnot that I've got. Being in that state and certainly seeing what the apostasy of the people has become, for those people to say, what does it matter whether or not we obey Yahweh's law, can you give us just kind of your assessment of what the disobedience of his law has done to that state?
Oh, yeah, certainly. As you referred to, it's probably one of the most socialistic states. I couldn't agree more. It is a very anti-Christ state, a very Jewish state. It's to the point now where in New Jersey, actually, it's going to become a point where we're not going to be able to have Bible studies anymore. It is a man's law. And quite honestly, our ministry is so small here. Most of the time, I feel like I'm speaking to a brick wall. There just aren't many of us here.
That's the background. So we know you're stuck in the lion's den there. You're sort of like Daniel in the Old Testament. And we certainly salute you for your courage to stand up and even hold meetings there. I have a feeling more and more people are going to come seeking direction and guidance from you in the future, Tom. But I certainly know how you feel at the moment, like we're about the only ones out here. But remember what Elijah said, you know, when he said, I'm the only one left, and Yahweh reprimanded him and let him know that he had 7,000 out there. So he's building his army. It's pretty much a hidden army at the moment. I have a question here. I guess we can go through it, and I'll ask the question, and then you can give me your answer, and then we can maybe talk about it a little bit. But the first question I had is, does his law change?
No, he doesn't change either. This is very clear on that Yahweh is saying yesterday, today, and forever. What offended him back then must necessarily offend him now. That is a constant. If we don't have that kind of a constant, how could we trust anything that he told us? He told us, and he's proven it throughout history repeatedly, that he is as constant as the sun.
Oh, absolutely. Now, there's many people who will tell you that the Ten Commandments is the law. Are they correct?
That's part of the law. But you see, that's only personal law. That's how we deal with our relationship between us and Yahweh, and how we deal with our relationship between our own brethren, with each other. But that's only part of it. In Genesis, it tells us, I believe it's chapter 26, that God, Abraham even had all of the commands, statutes, and judgments. There are three other categories there that six other categories that they're not even looking at. I've had people say to me, well, there's over 600 of God's laws, and you think we're supposed to obey all of them? And I say, well, you know how many millions of laws this government has enacted? I said, which would you rather obey?
Right.
God's laws are perfect. Man's are riddled with holes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And people have to remember, too, that 600 some laws that cover every aspect of your life.
Absolutely.
And like you said, man, I think Pastor Wickstrom and Colonel Farrell mentioned on the air not long ago that there was like 22,000 new regulations or something like that. Just in the area of guns, which they have no right to make, but they make them anyway because the sheep seem to take it. But you're right. I mean, 600 some laws compared to what these shysters have come up with is nothing. Not to mention the fact that his law works, their law doesn't.
Exactly. I mean, on our Wednesday night meeting, this is what we've been studying is God's laws, and it's a slow process. Our people have been programmed, brainwashed with denominational thought for so long that it's taken time to unprogram, reprogram, and to plug in God's word, His law. And it's challenging, to say the least.
Oh, absolutely. You have to be tenacious to be a pastor teaching the truth today. I'll get on to my next question here now. Do we obey Yahweh's law or man's law? In other words, if they come in contradiction with each other, the true believer, who does he owe his allegiance to, Yahweh's law or man's law?
Well, even the apostles, when they were thrown in jail and told not to teach the gospel of the kingdom, they very boldly stated, we must obey God rather than man, and rather than is instead of. I must obey God instead of man. I can't see any other example worth following.
Absolutely. Now, what do you say to these people that I've often had them, they hand you this incorrect version of Romans 13 where we're to obey all the authorities. I have my way of handling that, but how do you handle that, Tom?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Romans 13, if you keep it in its context, it reiterates the Ten Commandments. It reiterates God's law, part of it anyway. And Paul's point being that the higher powers, at seven other times in the epistles in the New Testament, Paul uses that term, higher powers or higher authority. And every time he's talking about heavenly authority, he's talking about God's authority, Yahweh's law. Why he should all of a sudden need something else here is beyond me. But there's only one that we have to honor, there's only one we have to pay tribute to. Luke tells us that Christ was arrested because he forbade the people from paying taxes, because he declared himself to be king. Well, there's too many of our brethren out there calling themselves Christians. Well, boldly stand up and say that Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah, is their king. But they don't want to obey him.
Right.
And that's the sad part.
Can you love him and disobey him at the same time?
No. We cannot serve God and mammon as an impossibility. You serve one or the other. If you even think of serving the other, you think of becoming a traitor. It's treason to our king.
Now, when you read Romans 13, tell me if I'm wrong here. Last time I read it, it seems to me, if you read the whole chapter and you take the whole book in context, but you take particularly that chapter, doesn't it refer to the authorities that I'm supposed to obey as godly authorities?
Yeah, and I believe that more accurately, when it refers to his authorities as ministers, I would say that should be our duty as pastors is to teach the law, in part at least, but our people should govern themselves according to God's law. And if not, then they're not obeying what Paul says here.
Exactly. In fact, the founding fathers, when they founded this nation, and a nation is a race of people, by the way, folks. That is a fact. If you do the research, you'll find out that the word nation deals with race. It has got nothing to do with a geographical location. Country has to do with location. Nation has to do with race. But when they founded this nation, they went back and they talked about the fact that that man's law and God's law, you know, were two different things, and that God's law was to be obeyed in the place of man's law, because man's law typically turns to tyranny, and that we were to be a self-governing people, meaning that each and every man, woman, and child was to be taught from the time they were little that you had to hold yourself accountable to our Heavenly Father for your conduct. And since our Heavenly Father can watch 24 hours a day, then you were to be conducting yourself accordingly 24 hours a day. So this nonsense of today that man can create new law and be a better producer of men of character than the teaching of God's laws is absolute foolishness. would you think?
Oh, yeah. It's an arrogant and ignorant man who thinks himself qualified and capable of making law. Only God makes law. We don't need any more laws. Every time I hear someone say there ought to be a law, I cringe. Deuteronomy 11, verses 18 through 20, and this is how important it was to God's people, even his family. It says, therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, and you shall write them on your doorposts, on your house, and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens upon earth.
Well,
this is how important this is.
Would you say then that virtually every curse that is upon this land today, in fact the world actually, I mean we could expand this to beyond the borders of the United States, would you say that the curse that's presently upon the whole earth with its pestilences and global corruption and vice, the child pornography and the white slavery, etc., that's going on, would you say that each and every one of them is in direct violation of some ordinance or judgment or commandment?
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of what we're seeing, particularly in this country, is God's hand of judgment. He told us that if we appoint anyone over us who's not our brother, not our kin, that he will bring the heathen into our land. And he has done just that. And then our Judeo-Christian brethren, they sit there and they complain because their daughter or their son came home from school and they've learned some pagan way. We've let the pagans in because we didn't obey the law.
Absolutely. Now, that brings up a couple things. First of all, let's talk about our Judeo-Christian people, which that's an oxymoron, actually,
yeah.
Because there's nothing Judeo about Christianity. They are two diametrically opposed theologies. But as it's taught in the schools here, you know, which law do we obey? You know, does obedience to man's law, is that going to bring us salvation? And also, is it right for a Christian to be a pansy and to be walked all over? I mean, is that what the word teaches you, Tom, and we're to be these weak, limp-wristed, little sugar-sweet candy apples out there? Or are we supposed to be men of Yahweh who stand in the gap? And as Psalm 149 says, with his praise on our lips and a double-edged sword in our hand. Which version do you read? Do you read the scripture?
Well, I see what Yahweh's word tells me as very clear. Sometimes translations lose their meaning because people corrupt the language. But when he said to turn the other cheek, he didn't say to take a punch. What he was talking about, we even look at movies where they portray this, where someone comes up to another man with a glove and he slaps him in the face. And he challenges him to a duel. That's what Christ is speaking of when he says turn the other cheek. Not to let pride drive you into accepting the challenge. They didn't tell us to be weak. There's a difference between meek and weak. God's law says that if you hear the trumpet and the city is under attack, that could be your town, your family, your country, and if you don't run to the gate and defend it, and that means to fight, then the blood of the innocent that is shed is on your head. That's amen.
Yep. And another angle towards that turn the other cheek garbage that you produce Hollywood movies constantly pump into our heads. That had to do with the verse, or I should say it's right along with the verse of forgiving 70 times 7 a brother. You turn your cheek to a brother only. You don't turn your cheek to these heathens that have come in here. You don't turn your cheek to your enemies. That's ludicrous. The only thing you turn your sheep to is your father, and you only do that in order to keep the fatherhood going. In other words, you don't take offense to a slight insult or somebody said the wrong thing one day or had a bad hair day and said something they shouldn't have said. You don't run off and ignore them and cast them away for that. It's a brotherhood. It's a family. It's no different than your earthly family. I mean, for instance, my brother. I've never fought anybody more in my life than my own brother. I mean, I hit him more, chased him more, and threw things at him more than any other mortal man, and yet I would defend him with my life. He's my brother. You see what I mean?
I mean, that's what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 12. He was talking about our enemies. That is our brethren that we have differences with. So we're to do good to them. And in doing so, it's like heaping coals of fire upon their heads. We're burning and searing their conscience. But God's enemies have no conscience. Obviously, it doesn't apply to them. What does apply to them is what 2 Chronicles 19 says, that we're not to love or help God's enemies. Or what David even said about God's enemies is that he hated them with a perfect hatred, a complete hatred.
Absolutely. Now, in relation to Yahweh's law, we've established the fact that there's approximately 617, about 650, depending on how you count them, simple laws that make perfect sense. And that's the whole body of his law versus this nonsense of man's law. Now, of that body of Yahweh's law, do we have the right to pick and choose what we want to obey?
No, and that's what troubles me the most. When I'm presenting this, and when I've heard others present it, I'll see a brother or a sister say, you know what, that makes sense. And then we'll get into something like the food laws, and that makes sense until they get to court. And they say, well, I'm just not going to obey that law. What made you decide to pick and choose one here and one there? What pages of the Bible am I to rip out? What verses am I to delete? I mean, that's not for me to decide. Christ told the multitude and the apostles in Matthew 23 that they are to obey and do whatever the Sabbath is taught. They taught.
Right. Hey, Tom, we got to go to break, so hold on for just a second. We'll be right back.
All right.
Worldwide on hbroadcast.com, who pays the Heritage Broadcast System.
Welcome back to By Yahweh's Design with Pastor Dan. Now here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Welcome back, everybody, and again, tonight's program on the 5th of February, Monday night, is Yahweh's Law, and our guest is Pastor Tom Hall from New Jersey. All right, Tom, Yahweh's Law. Obviously, it's significant and pertinent, and personally, we're not going to come through any of this mess without it. And the sooner people understand that, the better. Now, Tom, in relation to his law, and obviously we're in disobedience to that law, because if you read Deuteronomy and all the curses that he would bring upon us for disobedience, we've got them all. Conversely, would you agree then that we need to get back into this obedience mode if we ever hope to be saved?
Absolutely. That's the first step. The first step is that we as a people need to begin to walk in the truth. And that walk takes us into doing. He told the elders, the Jews, he told them that because they followed the traditions, that they made God's word of no effect. And that's what happens. When we don't obey his law and actually put it into practice, God's word is useless. It's effectiveness. It makes no changes.
Sort of like the salt becoming, losing its favor?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we wonder why we're being trampled.
Right.
Okay, now here's my question then. Some people might ask, well, how do we know what his law is? Now, I've got a few things written down here, but I'll let you start if you want, or I can read mine. But how do we know today what his law is?
Well, it's not that complicated as far as sorting it out. I mean, this is how simple it is. Christ did die on the cross. He made the perfect sacrifice. And therefore, the ordinances, which had to do with the blood sacrifices, were nailed to the cross. That part should be easy to understand. But the rest of God's law, His commandments, His statutes, which is civil law and all other laws, and of course judgments, that should speak for itself, they're all there in the Old Testament. And in fact, most of, a great many of them are reiterated in the New. But it's not hard to read through. I mean, at once a year, Moses would read the law to the people. And here we're spending week after week after week in a Bible study, and it's taking a long time to get through them. But it's just really good.
Well, back in those days, they taught it on a daily basis. I mean, the men and women of the towns, villages, and out in the countryside and whatnot, the men and women knew the law, and I believe that most men follow the commandment that says, teach your children from the time they're little, as you go through your walk in the garden and you do your daily work, you mention to the children when a law applies. And so when it got to the annual event, I'm sure all you had to do was kind of reiterate them and whatnot. You might pick up one or two you hadn't thought of, but for the most part, I believe the law was on most people's minds on a daily basis.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. As it should be today.
Oh, absolutely.
Every time we think of something or do something or go somewhere and see something that's wrong, horns, bells, and whistles should be going off.
Uh-huh.
It's written in our hearts and in our minds. We know when something's wrong, and God's Word tells us why. It also tells us why we're supposed to obey it. Deuteronomy 13:11 says, and all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this among us.
Well, as one man said, I was speaking with today, another gentleman that will be a guest next week. We were talking about that. And we constantly talk about the problem with the Jews. I mean, that is obvious. These people are absolutely reprobate, and everything they touch, they pollute. However, they are not the problem. The problem is the disobedient Adamites that are in our society. The children of Yahweh who carry His spirit, His creativity, and have the capability of accomplishing great and wondrous things, and yet we allow ourselves to be drugged into the ditches with everybody else, drugged down to the lowest common denominator by these lying pastors, I call them prostitutes, that are in these modern day churches because they're teaching lies for truth, and yet, as you said, the law is on the heart of those who wish to be spiritual. Those people who are seeking Yahweh, I believe, do not fall for these lies because of His Spirit upon them. And that was some of the things I said when the question is, how do we know His law? As you said, it's written on our heart, and along with that, we have the Spirit. The Spirit testifies to the truth. It's that old thing, you can kind of feel when you hear something that is true.
Right.
And then we have the prophets, which you mentioned, and their writing, especially if you go back to the original languages instead of a lot of these perversions. For instance, thou shalt not kill, absolutely ludicrous and false. Thou shalt not murder, folks. That's what the law says. And thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, yeah, if you understand what the word adultery meant in the original languages, that's true. However, if you take the modern definition of adultery, that is not what the word says. The word says, thou shalt not mix your race. You do not mix the holy seed with the unholy. And so, we've got a lot of error in that way. And then the third way I have here for understanding what the law is, it's just plain common sense, and it works.
This is true. When my wife started to see these things and she started to learn the law, she pointed out to me in the Ten Commandments, why would Yahweh say the same thing twice? And He doesn't. And He says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Well, certainly if you're saying that that's adultery, you'd have to covet in order to go that route. But that's not what he's saying. I got it off the internet, a dictionary, a new dictionary, and it states that to adulterate is to mix something impure with something.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and if you do a root study back in the Vulgate, the different translations of Latin, and if you go all the way back to the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Old Testament that was very much in use when our Messiah walked the earth, by the way, because it had been produced 280 years prior to his coming. The Greek word, if I remember right, is oikousēs. And if you look up the root of oikousēs, it has everything to do with mixture, just like the modern-day word adultery, meaning it had to do with mixing impurity with purity. And the author of the book, The Sixth Law of God, Pastor Harrell, probably one of the very best jobs I've ever read on tearing this one commandment down to where you just cannot get it confused when you get done with this 100-page booklet. It is specifically, thou shalt not break next. And yet, especially in the state where you are, people, if they could understand that one law, and preachers were teaching the truth of that one law, you would have a dramatic change in people's behaviors in your state, buddy.
There's no doubt about it. Everywhere I look, that's all I see anymore. I mean, even in members of our own families, we're starting to see it. And it's a horrible thing. We're committing genocide, and we're allowing it, and the churches are encouraging it. And it's blatantly a breach of his law, which is sin.
Absolutely. And we're going to be punished for it because, there's going to be two things happening. One, I pray in Yahweh's name an imprecatory prayer against these lying bastards that get in front of their congregations and accept money to be their watchmen and then teach these sugar-sweet lies to them because it's politically correct and they're afraid, they're scared to death to lose their state 501c granted tax exemption. And so that these little pusillanimous pieces of dirt will get up there and tell lies because they're afraid of a paycheck, afraid of retirement, afraid of being kicked out and having to do a real job for a living. And so they'll keep on telling these lies to their people, which even though it destroys them and they don't even care. I pray an imprecatory prayer upon their heads that Yahweh just absolutely curse them from the top of their head to the tips of their toes. And the other thing is, if we continue on in this one sin area alone, we are going to be saddled with a huge portion of our population that's made up of mongrels, which in the Hebrew was mamzer, and that's what the word bastard means in the English versions of your Bible. It doesn't mean that you were conceived out of wedlock. That's ludicrous. It means half-breed. And I just finished a good book not too long ago talking about the fact that people with mixed blood in their bodies tend to be the most violent in our society because they don't belong to any race. And so the parents, in their ignorance and in their arrogance, produced this child which Yahweh called an abomination, and he called it an abomination because of what they'll turn into be. They'll be your most belligerent people in your society because they were created and now belong to no particular racial line.
Right. And without that, they have no heritage, they have no roots, so to speak. They don't even know what God deserves. They have nothing to look back upon, and therefore an inability to look forward.
But it's a shame. And here again, Yahweh's law versus chaos. I saw a bumper sticker in New Jersey one time, a gentleman that I later got to be friends with. He had it on the back of his car, and it said, God's law or chaos. It's as simple as that. Benjamin Franklin basically said the same thing. You will either be ruled by tyrants or God. That's the only choices you have, people. There are no other choices. And if you don't think we live under a tyranny today, you're hiding under a rock somewhere because you're surrounded by it. And it just keeps getting sicker and sicker, more disease, more violence. Our people are just, the curses are upon them. I don't know why in the world they resist, as you said, Tom. Why do they resist wanting to go to Yahweh's law, which brings peace, prosperity, health, and sanity, and the rule of law and order back to your society, and yet they act like it's the plague. They almost prefer the perversion, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And that's the sad thing, because our people are missing something so much greater, something that Yahweh has given to us on a silver platter. Is the perfect example of how to be the light to the rest of the world, and that is how to rule ourselves according to His law, which Him is our King.
Yes, Pastor Bob.
It's nothing more complicated than this, and a child can understand it.
Absolutely.
God's law demands a blood sacrifice. Christ is our blood sacrifice. If it was no longer in effect, we wouldn't need a blood sacrifice, hence we wouldn't need Christ. Since it is still in effect, we do need Yeshua, and it's that simple, because God's word makes it clear that we need Him. It's necessary that His law is in effect. And
hey, Tom, we have a caller. Pastor Bob from Not Nevada, welcome to the program, sir.
Well, thank you very much. You guys are doing a great job today. You both put gunpowder in your cereal this morning.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I just wanted to congratulate you on a great show, and just wanted to fill in one passage from Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14. It says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil."
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, give us a plug for your program to the folks there too, Bob. You've got a good one.
I'll be coming on in about an hour. And the show is Genesis 3:15 every Monday, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 Pacific. And I'm going to do a little something different tonight, so I hope everybody listens.
Excellent. One quick question for you there, Pastor Bob. Are you up on shortwave anymore, or is it strictly on Heritage?
Strictly on the Heritage. The computer download is satellite, and the FM micro rebroadcast is out there, but no shortwave anymore. I wish I could, but the listeners out there, they just don't tithe enough, and the shortwave cost us double for the airtime. I just can't afford it, plain and simple.
Okay. Well, you have an excellent program, sir. Yahweh bless
you. Thank you. Yahweh bless both of you.
You too.
All right. Yeah, it is pretty simple, Tom. I mean, again, it's so simple. It's like, how can people not see it? I mean, it just drives me up a wall. Not that I'm perfect, and at no time do any of our people ever claim to be perfect. But to deny the fact that Yahweh's law is pertinent. You know, the one that catches me and really gripes my rear end these days are these sugar-sweet Judeo-Christian sites that say it's all faith, you know, and it's all grace, and the law's been done away with, and I'm not saved by works, therefore I'm not going to worry about His law. I mean, if that isn't the most lame thing I've ever heard in my life, I've never heard a lame thing before. I mean, how in the world? I mean, can you ignore all the passages where He says, "If you love Me, obey Me"? You know, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, but I think part of the problem is modern Christianity, this Judeo psychobabble Judaism that's taught out here, has created two gods. Now, our Father told us He's one God, and He's only one God. And He came to earth in the form of Yeshua Messiah, and that's still one God. He's still the same entity. He took on flesh. But this Judaized Christianity today has created a new guy who they call Jesus. And he was never known by the name Jesus, by the way. But they created this new guy called Jesus, and somehow He's overthrown the old guy. See, the old guy, you throw him away because he's old time. I mean, you got to come up to the new, the 21st century. You got to be hip. Now, let's get rid of this Yahweh guy because he's too harsh. I mean, he's got rules. We're going to just stick with this nice, sugar, sweet little wimpy guy with long hair that was real frail and fragile, and he just loved everybody. I mean, he just thought everybody was great. So we're going to go with him, and he taught that the old way was put away, and all we got to do is just kind of feel good about ourselves and love everybody. What do you think, Tom? Did they create two gods for us?
Well, I think they got some really, really close glasses for one thing. But I think you're right. I think a lot of it is that the Antichrist Jews have weaseled their way into our seminaries and into our churches. It's been going on for a long time. And they've conned our people into thinking that the Old Testament was about different people and about the old God. And here comes someone new with a new religion. If our people will get it through their heads that Christ, Yahshua, did not bring a new religion, that he never said that the law was going to be put on a shelf, and in fact that he said the opposite, and nothing has ever changed except he brought the sacrifice to his promise, then they'd be on the right track.
Absolutely. Well, again, here's another one of the new lies. We got lies floating everywhere today, and we're in that period of time the prophets told us about there would be a great famine in the land. The first famine is going to be the famine for the truth, because the truth is hate to those that hate the truth. And we got a lot of people that hate truth today, and so it's a very hard thing to find. That's why we encourage people not just to listen to our program Monday through Friday, but also other alternative media. You got to seek the truth. Yahweh told us to be seekers of the truth. He wasn't going to come to you and allow you to be lazy and sit on your butt and think he was going to come and do this for you. You got to be seekers of the truth. And when you're a seeker, he opens doors and brings people into your lives. An old saying a friend of mine had is, when the student is ready, a teacher will appear.
Yeah.
And I found that true in my life quite frequently. If you leave yourself open to be taught, Yahweh will put many people in your lives to teach you many things and bring you into the truth. However, if you want to have a spirit over conscience, like I know everything and you're an idiot and I got a seminary degree and all this other garbage. I mean, I've heard some of the most stupidest things I've ever heard in my life from people with seminary degrees. So I don't know what goes on in a seminary. But I'm real suspicious because some of the most idiotic things I've ever heard of in my life have been said by people with 3 to 4 years of training in a cemetery.
Oh, it's scary, isn't it?
Seminary.
That's real scary, I'll tell you. But you're absolutely right. I can't see the New Testament even makes it very clear and it's very simple. James said, some will say, I have faith. Why do I need work? Others will say, I have work. Why do I need faith? He said, I will show you my faith by my work, by
right.
What I do, by my obedience. Paul said the same thing in Romans chapter 3. He said, at the very last day, he said, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law.
I have searched high and low through the scriptures and other ancient writings. I can't, for the life of me, I know it should be easy to find, but for some strange reason, I cannot find the name of that seminary that Christ and the disciples came from. Do you remember which one it was?
That one escaped me too, brother. I don't know.
I mean, think of the lunacy today. I mean, you walk up to people and you try to teach them the truth of the word, and it's almost like trying to teach them about the food laws and health care, which Dr. Judy would be a good one to bring on and talk about that. They look at you and they go, well, what college did you go to? Are you an MD? In other words, truth doesn't come. The truth doesn't stand on its own. It's got to have an institution, which we know who runs the institution. And it's the same thing with our preachers. I mean, if you want to teach somebody the truth, and you're sitting there and you're expounding truth to them, and it makes perfect sense, but all of a sudden they'll look at you with this star-crossed look in their eyes, and they'll go, well, what seminary did you come from?
Is this that has any bearing?
Exactly. But, you know, the calling upon a true pastor and a true prophet of Yahweh is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and it's the hot coals he puts on his tongue that he makes him preach his word you know, quitting the preaching of his word would be easier than not breathing.
Oh, good.
You know, or I should say not breathing would be easier than quitting the preaching of his word. That's what that hot cold is talking about. And that has nothing to do with a man-made institution called a seminary.
It's just amazing. It's just, I find that the longer our brethren have been in a certain denomination, the harder and longer it takes, the harder it is for them to deprogram themselves and to get rid of those phony, false Jew doctrines.
Well, you know, Tom, I heard a friend one time told me he had better fortune in converting or educating or deprogramming people in bars than he does in churches.
I believe that. I have no trouble believing that. Maybe.
Yes, it is. I'll tell you what, Tom, we're coming up on about 5 minutes to the hour, so we got about two and a half minutes left. If you want to kind of, you know, give a closing sentiment about, you know, what you think we're coming down to in these latter days and what people need to be doing to prepare themselves and their family.
Well, Isaiah tells us that in the end, the same system that existed with the judges will exist again. That was a theocracy. Yahweh is king, his commandments, his law, ruling. And that's what's going to happen. So we better get used to that. We better get ready for it. We better learn his law.
Amen to that. And I would say not only learn it, but as you stated earlier in the program, put it into practice in your life, wouldn't you say?
That's the key.
And I also want people to understand, as you touched on earlier, those food laws apply, folks. If you think they're silly or old-fashioned or you don't have to deal with them, well, then you're going to get sick and you're going to die. And you know what? You brought it on your own head. And don't you dare ask Pastor Tom or me or Pastor Bob or Jim or anybody else to pay your medical bill, because I'm not going to pay them. And people better get that straight. That those food laws, Yahweh puts our common sense laws, and the old saying is, you are what you eat. And if you want to eat bottom feeders that eat dead and decaying material and think that you're going to get away with it and not have it affect your body, you are absolutely ignorant and arrogant, I might add. If you think that the creator of these machines, who gave us an owner's manual called the Scripture, and you think you're going to live your life whatever way you choose and then not have to suffer for it when you go against what he says, man, you're just ignorant. Excuse me.
Yes,
all right, Tom, give us one more 30-second blast here, buddy.
No, I just can't imagine how a people would not be able to unite and stand the divided we have fallen. But under God's laws, I can't see how we could unite and stand. And that's
we will. We will stand and we will obey his law in the future, sir.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely. We want to thank you for coming on, Tom, and we'll have to do this again sometime soon.
Thank you, Pastor. I've enjoyed it.
All righty. Yahweh bless, and may he strengthen you in that den of thieves that you live in out there in Jersey. My gosh. Everybody should pray for Pastor Tom and his family and all those good folks out there. So, folks, I hope you enjoyed it. Yahweh's Law, 5th of February. Go to our website if you ever want an update. We try to keep a schedule posted there as to who's coming on, and that's at http://byyahwehsdesign.com. And you spell Yahweh, YAHWEH. So you can go to our website and you can email us there, or you can read the postings that I put there and try to keep them up to date. In the meantime, tune in to Pastor Bob in an hour, same station, and tomorrow night at 7 we'll be back, Yahweh willing. In the meantime, keep your powder dry. Yahweh bless.